Good morning. We have been looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I've been saying some things that ought to be raising questions in your mind. If you happen to be on the contrary part, you should be getting upset with me by now. And if you have been confused on this subject, you should be beginning to see the light. We are speaking about the matter of tongues, specifically, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And on the last broadcast, we left off with verse 29. But let me back up just a little bit to kind of bring you up to speed. If you are joining us for the first time on the broadcasts, the Bible says is concerned with teaching, giving forth the clear teaching of the Word of God, not a particular denominational bias or perspective on things, but simply what does the Bible say. On this premise, if you know what the Bible says, then what you do with it is between you and God. If you don't know what the Bible says, how are you going to obey the will of God? How can you do what God wants? If you know what the Bible says, then you got a beginning point, some place to proceed from. Now, in the matter of 1 Corinthians, we're dealing with a book that was written to solve problems, specifically the problems in the church at Corinth. But it is not bound by time, because the same problems exist today. The charismatic movement that has inflicted itself upon just about every denomination, both Christian and non-Christian, traditional and non-traditional denominations, and even going beyond anything that we call the church, but crossing the line into other religions as well. When we look at what the Bible has to say, obviously, if you're speaking about the gifts of the Spirit is not going to go around handing out His gifts, or the gifts that God has given for the founding of the church, to people who do not believe in Christ. If somebody is not a Christian, can you honestly expect anybody to believe you when you say that this is a gift of the Spirit? If an unconverted person can do it, it is not of God, long and short of the discussion, if we're speaking about these gifts. Now, when we look here at verse 27, we find restrictions being placed, additional restrictions being placed on the use of tongues, to be done only by two or three, and then in order, that is one at a time, and only if there is an interpreter present. As we moved into verse 29, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Now, please keep in mind, as I said earlier, this is predating the completion of the Scripture. After the Scripture was completed, there was no longer any need for God to empower certain individuals to reveal or to give forth a revelation of the Word of God, because He's already done it. Now, you will notice from the study of other books, for instance, the book of Ephesians, that does not say He does away with those gifts to the church, that is, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are given. Those are something that are part of the church age and will continue until such time as the Lord comes back. The exception there being apostles, for there were only 12 of them, and when they died, they were not replaced. So we're looking at prophets in the Old Testament sense of the preaching of the Word of God in condemnation of sin, but they are no longer in the sense that are being discussed here, the idea of revealing hitherto unknown revelation from God. Not at all. You will notice, please, also, that these are not looked upon as being an end-all in and of themselves. When the Scripture was given, the Scripture cannot be broken, okay? There is no argument with Scripture. You don't have any legitimate right for somebody to say, oh, well, now that's out of date, and I've got new revelation. That doesn't wash. You can't do that and support yourself biblically. Now, on the other hand, let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Now, you know what kind of confusion there would be? Man gets up to preach in the church today, and somebody blurts, "No, wait a minute, I got something else." Now, note, please, that God is not the author of confusion. Chapter 14 ends with verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, you note here he says, let the first hold his peace. It was the idea that these men did not see themselves as infallible. This is not the same thing as inspiration, as you'll find in the recording of the Word of God. Now, you will note, he says here in verse 31, "For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted or encouraged." excuse me. Nasty thing about this time of the year, you get crud in your throat. As we come back here to verse 31, "that all may learn and all may be comforted." Today there is this tendency for people to go off on a tangent, doing their own thing. The idea that God has shown me something he hasn't shown anyone else. You need to listen to me. Don't listen. Now, that kind of thing was not encouraged. That's not what's being spoken of here. He says, let the prophet speak, two or three, let the other judge. There are people who sometimes get things, well, for instance, there are things I'm sure you've heard me say on these broadcasts that are different from what you grew up hearing if you were going to church your whole life. Many of the things I would like to think, if you've gone to a good Bible preaching church, you're saying, well, yeah, I've always heard that. Yeah, I know that. That's what the Bible says. But if your background has been spotty, you haven't gone to church, your only contact with the Bible has been what you've heard somebody else say that it says, then some of the things you've heard me say, well, I never heard that before. The catchphrase of this whole broadcast: what does the Bible say? Now there you have your authority. What's the Bible say? Now, before the Bible was completed, you had this thing where people were saying, well, okay, and they were kind of, what shall I call, tweaking it, correcting things as it goes along. But when you're dealing with the Scripture, you've got this matter of a completed revelation. There is now no longer any need, nor indeed any reason to try to tweak something. Now, you will notice here he says in verse 32, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." These men are not puppets under the control of God, but rather, for instance, there are people that will jump up and go running up and down the aisle. Somebody says, "What in the world are you doing?" "Oh, I just had to. The Spirit made me do it." No, he didn't. No, he didn't. A spirit may have, but the Holy Spirit did not. There are people that will say, "Well, you know, I said what I said because the Spirit just laid it on my heart," and what they said was contrary to the Word of God. I don't doubt for a minute that a spirit told them to do it, gave them the impulse to do it. But was it of God? If it doesn't line up with the Scripture, my friend, it does not. You will notice, please, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Go on. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." God is not the author of confusion. Well, if God isn't the author of it, where does the confusion come from? Now, my friend, it either comes from the human heart or it comes from the devil. Those are your only two alternatives that I can see. Now, We move then into verse 34, and we find more restrictions on tongues. You say, on tongues? Yeah, what's the context? We're talking about preaching. We've been talking about tongues. Now look, please, at verse 34, and don't get your rocks together to stone me. What's the Bible say? Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now the whole catch here, the sticking point, if you will, is summed up in this word speak, down about the middle of verse 34. Is this saying that when women go to church, they ought not say anything, they ought just have their mouth taped shut? Is that what it's talking about? No. The word speak is a specific kind of a word. It means to speak as having teaching authority. It means to teach like Jesus taught, like the apostles taught. It is not permitted unto them to speak in the church. Now, wait a minute. Let's reason a little bit here. These gifts that have been mentioned back in, well, let's go back to chapter 12. It's one thing to say what the Bible says, another thing to actually go and look at it and see. You will notice in chapter 12 and verse 11, but all these, speaking about the gifts in verses 8, 9, and 10, verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually, as he will. He is the one that was permitting, he was the one that was motivating the use of these gifts for that length of time. When it is not permitted unto them to speak, the permission is not being given by a board of deacons, but rather by the Spirit of God. It's not a matter, well, you know, they just were keeping women down. No, it was not permitted. These gifts were not operative in women in the churches. Now that's what the Bible says. Notice, please, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. This raises a severe question, my friend, about the legitimacy of any woman who stands in the pulpit as a minister of the Word of God. As a pastor, it is not permitted. For how can a woman be the husband of one wife? You have to be realistic about this, my friend. How is it possible for the woman to be the husband of one wife, to rule her own house well, when you find the scripture saying that the wife, the woman, is supposed to be in submission to her husband? You cannot go crossing the line with the scripture and still say you're legitimate when what you're doing is contrary to the Word of God. I don't expect to win any friends by that. I know there are women that get really twitchy when I am around who are ministers. And I put that in quotes. They have been told by their hierarchy, by their bishops, or by the superintendents, that it's all right, that times have changed, and anything a man can do, a woman can do. But, hey, it's not all their fault. I blame the men for not having taught properly, not held the line biblically. They are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And then in verse 35, if any will learn, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. I'm out of time, but that word ask is interrogate. Gentlemen, you better know what the Bible says.